on his situation, it would have been, like, longer, I think. And and I just want to thank you guys for supporting our family and praying for my family. And he's, he got a new brace. When did you get the new brace? Last week for, like, to, for his comfortability. And I think they're planning to do, like, use Botox to, I think, to relax the muscles on his ankle or his leg. So he got his blood work, and I think it's in progress. So next month he's going to have that procedure. And I just want to thank everyone for helping us and praying for us, and just want to thank, give it all to God, all the, you know, the praise and everything that he's done for my family. So.
Watching this tour in LA, they have this huge, what's that? They call it this big,
longboard
in LA. Have you seen it? This huge, they have a tournament. I was thinking maybe get back there. You know, they jump and they slide it off the rails. In LA, it's a big tournament. So I was thinking, hey, Ken might be there. Amen. All right. Well, this morning we are really glad that we have a speaker in the house this morning. And I have known her for 36, 37 years. And I'm great to be with her for that 37 years. So please help me welcome Sister Rose.
Joshua dismissed the people of Israel went each to his inheritance to take possession of the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great work that the Lord had done for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110 years old. 110. And they buried him within the boundaries of his inheritance in the Timnath Heres, in the hill country of Ephraim, north of the mountain of Gash. And all that generation also were gathered to their fathers. And here. And there arose another generation after them, who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. They went after other gods from among the gods of the people who were around them and bowed down to them. And they provoked the Lord to anger. And they abandoned the Lord and served the Baals and Asherah. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he gave them over to plunderers who plundered them. And he sold them into the land or into the hand of their surrounding enemies, so that they could no longer withstand their enemies. Whenever they marched out, the hand of the Lord was against them for harm, as the Lord had warned and as the Lord had sworn to them, and they were in terrible distress. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you that your word is always an encouragement and to teach us, Father God. Father, I pray for your Holy Spirit, Lord, to speak to us this morning. I present myself as a body, as a living sacrifice, Lord God, and my thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. Speak to us this morning, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may all sit down. Let's see if I can know how to work this technology. Oh. How are you supposed to work this out then? Oh! Okay, the title of my message is Will Our Children Know? I'm going to speak in behalf of the coming generation. You see the theme today, I didn't mean it to be that, but the theme today is children. Because it saddens my heart every time I hear or I read the news. Here's a headline. And it was published in Fox News. August 21, 2018. These are the headlines. These are headlines from the news. I got it exactly from the news. It says, California girl, 15-year-old, ran pot shop, you know pot, weed, out of her bedroom, and mom allowed it. Can you imagine? I've never read this news before growing up. Another one from CNN. See, I'm not just Fox, CNN. A parent killing a child happens more than we think. So now parents are killing their child. It's not only abortion, but when they have their child, they're killing them. It's happening more than we think. That's CNN News. And this is another one. This is from USA Today. So I took it out from other newspapers, just like this one. A Colorado, teen girl kills nephew, hides body in her room. So now these teens are killing their children and then hiding them in their room. Can you imagine? These are all headlines. I've never read all this, like, more and more and more. In fact, as we go on further, we will see how bad it is for our children. So the Lord is speaking in the book of Judges, not only, and because, you know, this book has written a long time ago, but as we read in Romans 5:14, that they were written for us for a long time ago to teach us, right? And these scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. Those are the words of God in Romans chapter 14, verse 4. So these are the words not to encourage us, not to discourage us, but to encourage us that we have a responsibility. I'm speaking to you now, whether you have children, you don't have children yet, if you don't intend to have children, I'm speaking in behalf of this coming generation. Because there is such an urgency for us. If you don't see it, it is urgent. Because now the headlines, there was a poll that was given. I read this, I was going to post this, but then I didn't have, I just read this morning. It's according to the Pew Research, Center of Research, that there is now the greatest number of the population now, 46% believe that religion is not relevant anymore in this society. That is according to the Pew Research. And 46%, this is from the United States, unless you are in Ghana or you are in the Soviet Republic of Georgia. It's a country that's close to Soviet Union. These are all the only places where young people or young adults are saying that religion is relevant. But in the 46 countries, imagine 46 countries are now saying religion is no longer relevant. So if we see that the people around here, the young people are, you know, decreasing, it's not just here, it's all over the nation. Because now I know, I believe that the devil is really active because he knows his time is passing, you know, he's coming to an end. He's really busy catching all these children to go into his side. Right? So that's why I am really burdened for my, not only for my grandchildren, Ezra and Elijah, but I'm burdened for the coming generation, because I believe that every generation must assist in the preservation and transmission of God's word to the next generation. Amen? So there are three pointers that I have to, that I got from these passages. Number one, now I don't know how to work this out. I put that on the PowerPoint. Number one, to forewarn us that even if we are like Joshua and his generation, who knew the Lord and experienced his power, there is no guarantee that our children and the next generation will follow in our footsteps. That's right? Amen? Because, you know, in verse 7 it says that the people, during Joshua's time, the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great work that the Lord had done for Israel. So for me, I was standing before you today because my parents brought me up in a home setting where I was told there is God and you are going to love God with all your heart and soul with all my strength. That's my home. They taught me to fear God. And I was brought to church every Sunday, sometimes every day when my mother, now do I know how to, oh, so now that she went, do I push the left or the right? To go forward. Right. Oh my goodness, you are way ahead. That's not the first one, that's the last one.
Maybe just go.
No, I'm going to show all you my PowerPoint.
Close your eyes.
Okay. There. That's my first point. And like us today in this church, we have seen the power of God move in this church. Some of us have even experienced the move of God. Some of us have experienced or have witnessed how God has healed a lot of people here, how God has mended broken marriages, how God has sustained has this church for 19 or 20 years. I don't know which, how many years we're going. 20? 19 years. So in other words, we have a testimony as parents, and we have a testimony as a church to pass down to our next generation. Remember how we used to pray desperately, right? How we used to do it for us, maybe the older ones. How we used to pray desperately before to come to the United States, right? And how we lined up, and how we begged God, God, please bring us to the United States so I can at least hold a dollar. And now God answered our prayers, and we're all here. And you know, life in the Philippines, especially during our time, I don't know about Sister Barbara, I think we're the next one. I know Nana's time, I know Nana Irina's time, but during our, it was really hard, because you know, we had to, it's good if we eat meat every day, but we had to eat fish, and then the fish, I said fish, not fishes, fish. You have to cut them to divide them among the siblings. But my father always got the biggest piece for some reason. And then, you know how, and then when you come over here, it was my responsibility to give to my younger siblings, you know, like support them. So in other words, even when I was already here, I didn't get to enjoy my dollars because I had to send them back to the Philippines. I had scholars. My brother is a scholar, you know, yes, Rosalita Fuentes is a scholar. Right now he's a doctor, but not all the time because God had made a way where he was able to get his scholarship. So that was the time. So now God brought us here. You've now tasted the goodness of God. You've now tasted the luxuries that the United States can give. And I believe that the Lord has brought us all here, not just to taste the luxuries and the, you know, the, what America give us, but it is to pass down to the next generation, because now Elijah and Ezra and even Irvin have not experienced what we have experienced way back in the Philippines. So now I can tell Irvin and say, you know, it was hard for us today, but God has brought me here. It was God that brought me here. Because who can claim, you know, because I came here because I did it? No. God, you're put here because God brought you here. You have what you have because God gave them to you. You cannot say, no, this is mine. I worked hard for it. God gave them to you. God gave you your jobs. God gave your house. God gave your cars. God gave you gifts and talents. Whether you are the best nurse, whether you're the best accountant, whether you are the best, what else? IT or computer, because God gave them to you. Nothing that you have, you can claim as your own. God gave them to you. So it is our responsibility to pass that down to our next generation. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Even our promotions. There's a lot of you that have been promoted because God has shown favor as you delight in Him. He's shown favor in you that He had promoted you. Now, for those who are seeking jobs, I am pretty sure when you get that job, that it's going to be the best job that you have. When you're seeking for your mate, if you delight in the Lord, I believe that the Lord is going to give you the best mate. This is just to encourage the young ladies, because when I was still single, all my classmates were all getting married, and it was my prayer. I said, God, if you have destined me to be single, I'd rather be single than live a very unblessed life as a married woman, because I'd rather be single than be a married woman and be so miserable. And somehow God, you know, God gave me more than I asked. He asked me to. I married a pastor, which I never prayed in my life. I never prayed for a pastor to be my husband. I prayed for a man who would love God more than me. Second reminder. Second reminder. To remind us that knowing God is a personal and individual experience. Receiving Jesus Christ as one's own Savior has to be a personal experience. Our children cannot depend on the faith of their parents to save them. Verse 10 said, and all the generation also were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the word that He had done for Israel. Remember, imagine, you know, these children of Israel, they had seen Moses, you know, go through the Red Sea. God had delivered them from 400 years of slavery from the land of Egypt, right? And God had shown them how He divided the Red Sea, right? And they were able to go through the Red Sea, and how God had provided them, even if they wandered around the desert, He provided for them in the desert with their food, right? And so, from Moses, then God has passed it down to Joshua. Now, Joshua, he also helped them pass through the Jordan River. The children of Israel saw all these miracles. But yet, after the Joshua's time, and then the elders came up, another generation, the elders, but then the generation after the elders died out, that whole generation died. There was a generation that did not serve God. You know, I was searching, the generation can go from, I think, an average of 25 years. But it could be like 40 to 100 years during the time of Joshua. So, in other words, it's going to be my responsibility to pass it on to my children, or to my child, Irvin. And Irvin's responsibility is to pass it on to Elijah and Ezra. Ezra and Elijah could not depend on our faith to give them to lead them to Jesus Christ. But we trust and pray that as we pass it on to them, that they will choose to serve God. Right, every night when we have the chance to babysit our apostles, every night when they're sleeping, I lay hands on them. Lord, I pray that these children will serve you and stand for Jesus when they grow up. And then I pray for them and I pray for them so that when they grow, they will serve Jesus. Because I know that I am saved because someone was praying for me. I know my brother was praying for me. I know that I'm saved because someone, and then Pastor was healed. And all Urban was healed because of people praying for them. So that's even not exactly the gospel did not come to me through my parents, but God somehow made it to where I was able to hear the gospel to other people. So our responsibility is just to give to relay it to the next generation. So the next generation, they abandoned and forsook God. The word that was used by New King James is forsook. And that's a word that means abandoned or deserted, or they did not feel that if God was relevant anymore. They stayed away from God. That's a generation that stayed away from God. I pray to God that would not happen during my grandpa's time. So, how long ago was that? I think it was 2 weeks ago It was last week when we had the privilege of taking care of our apostles for a week. Oh no, not a week, but 4 days. And, you know, if you're in your 60s and you're taking care of like a two-year-old, you will know when you're going to be older. I thought I had all the energy. You know, I tried to be fit. You know, I tried to join Simbas and stuff like that to be fit. But I cannot imagine the energy they have. So, when we get home, you know, Ed and I asked Ed to drive so that that's the only time that they're quiet and they're not happy because they're like, they have their, seatbelt. That was true. But they can't do anything else. Then what else did they do? Sleep. So I said, the only time that I get my rest and entries to drive them. So we drove them, as I told you, we drove them to Palm Springs instead of Yucaipa because they were asleep. We took advantage. So then coming back, they slept again. But then, as soon as they get home, it is 5 o'clock, so I still have 6, 7, 8, 3 hours. So I said, hey, you better go up and then maybe they'll be okay. Go up and prepare your lesson. So then, or your sermon. So then I had this too. And I said, well, let's have some carnal time. Let's watch some cartoons. Oh, little did I know, even these cartoons, can you imagine that God has used these cartoons to entice all these? They have vampires. They have sorcery, Dracula. This is cartoons. No more Tom and Jerry. No more Goofy. Before when I in during Irving's time, it's so different. I tell you. I mean, I am so naive when it comes to like these cartoons. So I ended up turning it off, no more carrot, and then I just read them a book which they were happy. So in other words, parents, do we know what our children are watching? Right? Do we know what they are looking into their iPhone? Are we monitoring what they are looking at their, cell phones? Every one of them already have cell phones or videos. Because if we don't teach them, the media will take the chance of teaching them. You know what Hebrews said? He says, he alone who owns the youth gains the future. And you know what Stalin said? These are his words. He says, education is a weapon, the effect of which is determined by the hands with which wielded. In other words, our schools, you know, our schools is an avenue where the enemy can get through our kids. And how many, we have had an experience where one of our young people turned around because of what was taught in the school.
schools.
Even our pastor himself, our pastor, he went to graduate school, and while he was in graduate school, they were teaching about he must have been an atheist, a teacher, and he was relating to us. So they were teaching against the existence of God, and they were teaching about emphasizing on evolution. So if we don't teach them, our media and our the other people in college will teach them. So here's your choice, and I've made this illustration before, and the contrast between Matt Jukes and Jonathan Edwards. I don't know if you. I know I've used this illustration before. Max Jukes lived in New York. He did not believe in Christ or in Christian training. He refused to take his children to church, even when they asked to go. Well, here's the result. He has had 1,026 descendants, 300 convicts, 27 murderers, 190 prostitutes, and 509 alcoholics and drug addicts. His family thus far has reportedly cost the state hundreds of thousands of dollars. They have made no contribution to society that is of any benefit. That's Max Jukes. Now, contrasted to Jonathan Edwards, who lived in the same state at the same time as Jukes, he loved the Lord and saw to it that his children were in church every Sunday as he served the Lord to the best of his ability. He has had 929 descendants, 430 ministers, 314 war veterans, 75 authors, 86 college professors, 13 university presidents, 7 congressmen, 3 governors, and 1 vice president of the United States. His family never cost the state 1 cent, but contributed immeasurably to the life of plenty in the United States today. So what is your influence? And what legacy will you leave your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren? Whether you are Max Jukes or you are Jonathan Edwards. And lastly, these are all, like, maybe I'm repetitive, but that's good. Instruct us parents as well as others to pass on the baton of faith to the next generation. Verse 13, it says, they abandoned the Lord and served the Baals and Asherah. And as I said, the word forsook or abandoned means deserted, rejected, lost interest or contact with the Lord. They refused to commit themselves to God. Therefore, they reach a point they no longer knew or acknowledged him. So this generation no longer acknowledged the existence of God. That is hard to imagine, that you would not acknowledge the existence of God anymore. And I still believe, this is my personal conviction, I believe that the most important school a child should ever attend is his home. And the most influential theological teachers you should ever have are mom and dad. And I believe that it is our responsibility as parents to teach our children. Whether we teach them by word, but we can teach them by our example. If I teach the Bible and they see otherwise in our actions, they will follow our actions because our actions speak louder than our words. So it is our actions that speak louder to our children. Now you might say, I am saved now. Why should I care about my kids? Because when we go to the Lord, it's just going to be me and the Lord, right? But may I say to you that it's also the mandate of God. I mean, there's several verses that tells us that we have to pass on what we have, what we know. We have to pass on our faith. Okay. Let's see if I have this. Okay, because this is the picture of the generation today, right? It's all about email. I got this from the computer. Whether the percentage is correct or not, or current, it may even be more, but I believe it's a true picture, don't you think? Because if there's a very few people now, young people that think that religion is relevant, then perhaps this is a picture, right? And then, now this is a picture that you get from, I got from Facebook, but I don't believe it's Einstein that said these words, that I fear today that technology will surpass our human interaction. The world will have a generation of idiots. This was actually a statement that was made by, I believe it's Ronald Ripley. It wasn't Einstein, that one is wrong. So you cannot believe everything that's on Facebook. You cannot believe everything that's put on your, you have to research. And it was like a rephrase of a certain movie, I think. And so you look at that. They're having coffee with friends and they're not talking anymore. You know, they're all on their phones. And then a day in the beach, they're not enjoying the beach anymore. They're all on their iPhones. And then you're cheering your team. And you're not watching the team anymore, but they're all on their iPhones. And then at the date, that is so sad when you go on a date and you're on your iPhone. Gone are the days when you get there was no iPhone, you get to talk, and then even if you have an argument. I don't know how you argue on the iPhone, but even if you're having an argument, you didn't even have to say anything. Because I remember that time when Ed and I were on and Valentine's Day, and we had an argument. We don't even have to say anything, only our eyes, you know. Just by ours, they know we were angry and having an argument. And so, and then enjoying the sights, you go out and having a vacation, and then you're on your iPhone, you can't even enjoy it anymore. You're not even having dinner. Oh, that's the worst. You know, when you're on your dinner table and you're all on your iPhones. iPhones should not be allowed on the dinner table. They should pass a law where there are no iPhones on the dinner table. Maybe I'll be one of those legislators that will pass that no iPhones allowed on the dinner table.
iPhone.
I mean phones. iPhones. Okay. And that's the third one. Tell your children, let your these are the verses, Joel. Right? These are the verses. Like I said, you might give an excuse, well, I'm saved now. I don't really have any responsibility of telling to my children. Right? They have their own. Makina sila. Ano na sila? They're on their own. Adults na sila. Bakit ako magigalang? Ano? Saved naman ako. Munda na ako sa langit. I'm going to heaven. Why should I bother with them? You know, they have their own minds. They are, yeah, but you still have a... It's still mandated by the word of God. It still says that you are supposed to teach your children. Tell it, Joel 1:3 says, tell your children of it, and your children tell their children and their children to another generation. That's Joel chapter 1, verse 3. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have opened, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. That's a mandate to me, if you read it, right? I mean, that's the word of God. And then you say again, it's only in the Old Testament. That's just in the Old Testament. That's no longer true in the New Testament. Yeah, but how about the life of Timothy? How did Timothy become a believer? Because it was passed on from his grandmother, then to his mother, and then to him, and he became a disciple of God. So in other words, we have all the responsibility and we're mandated to pass on to our children. As I said, if we do not teach our children, social media will teach them. Their friends or peers will teach them, and which is so important. And I keep asking you, especially when they are in their teenage years, teenagers, you have to know who your children hang around. I mean, you better know who they are around, because they are the ones that will influence your children, especially if they're followers and they're not leaders. It's good if they're the leaders, because they will bring all these, they can bring them in, you know. But if your child is a follower, you'll just go into the crowd, because they are good influencers. There's other ones you can put them on. Psalms 145 verse 4. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Psalm 78 verse 4. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. Now this one I love. The next one. Psalm 71 verse 18. So even to old age and gray hairs, that's me, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those who come. So, God is asking us today. Choose today whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. When you say in the gods of the Amorites and then the gods of the Baal, they went on to serve the gods of the Baals and the Asherah. How do you know that we have our own Baals and Asherah? Anything that we put our Lord, you know, that's our Lord, is our Baals and Asherah. Whether it's going to be our jobs or our careers, they are our Baals or Asherah. Now, our children will know that by the way we live our life. You know, when they come here and they say, yes, we don't no longer go to church, we no longer are interested in the Bible studies, they know that, because they will see our actions more than what we tell them. Here is the news from the Pew Research. This is from Pew Research Center. Younger people are less religious than older ones in many countries, especially in the U.S. and the Europe. Now I'm pointing you the urgency of today, of us relaying God, His Word, relaying the Gospel, relaying that the truth is only the Bible, that we only get truth from, that's what we are going to pass on. That our truth is not from other books, but that real truth is the Bible. That the way to Christ, or the way to God, the way to salvation is Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to pass on. Our faith to the next generation. And so I'm asking you today, as a church, choose today whom you may serve. Whether the gods of your fathers, whether your careers, and I'm rephrasing this, your careers, your jobs, your money, your fame, your whatever it is, your cars, your house, just today whom you're going to serve, whom you're going to serve. But I am going to declare in front of the congregation that as for me and my house, the Fuentes house, we will serve the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
That's okay.
Amen. One thing I learned this morning is that education comes from home.
Amen.
And no matter what we argue with the principal or the teachers, always education comes from home. Amen. Thank you, Sister Rose. And let's all stand. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you this morning. We pray, Father, for every words that we hear. We pray that it will be engraved in our heart, Father God. Everything that comes from you, Lord. Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit, Lord, to hold that in our heart. That's how important it is, Lord, to our children, Lord, that they will learn early who you are, Father God, the God that we serve. And Father, we pray, Lord, this morning for those who have served the Lord. Father, we pray that you will touch their heart, Lord God, that how important it is, Lord, to be serving the Lord, and that they may experience how good is our God is. And Father, we thank you, and we pray, Lord, this morning for our tithes and offering, Father God, that will you give us wisdom, Lord, on how to manage, how to be a manager of your blessing that you have given to us, Lord God, spiritually, Lord, financially, and emotionally, Lord God. And Father, we give you all the glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said,
Amen. Amen.